This is Taking On Sports, where you'll find the best takes on all of the sports stories that need to be taken on. We've got a good one today. Today, my brother Will and I take on the big picture stories right now in baseball. How good are the really good teams right now? How bad are the really bad teams? Shohei Ohtani. We finally have learned what's going on with him. And pitcher injuries. I have a creative solution that I think fixes the problem of pitcher injuries. All right, we're a little delayed on our return to podcasting. It's been well over a week. The first thing I will say is congratulations to Kevin Allen Gressens on his victory in the Taking On Sports NCAA tournament pool. And so he will be on a future podcast. He is going to join the show and tell us his strategy for how he claimed victory over all of us. And they're not with us today, but let me tell you, when I told the people who aren't in my family who won, especially people I've done podcasts or done radio shows with in the past, they were so excited because Will, my brother, who is obviously here with me, you and I have, I'd say, B-plus voices.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Thank you for giving me a B plus. I appreciate that, by the way. Thank you.
I didn't say know how to use it.
In the family, yeah. who isn't in the radio business, I'll take B plus. So thank you.
Yeah, I didn't say you knew how to use it. I just said that you have it. And but our father is Kyle Remenap, who's been on the show once or twice, started this podcast with me. I believe called him the voice of God one day. So it is. Yeah. It is. I'm way overplaying it for his voice. It especially probably because he's not going to be doing it with a microphone. He's going to be doing it over just like a Zoom call. So I'm way overdoing it. But anyway, I'm already off track. We've done 2 minutes. I'm off track. Let's get into what we wanted to talk about today, which is Major League Baseball. And we want to keep a big picture. This is not going to be about the Tigers or the Cubs or anything. This is going to be big picture stuff about things that have happened recently in baseball and about the start. So here's how it's going to go. We're going to wrap up the show. I'm going to give you back to front. We're going to wrap up the show talking about teams in their either really good or really bad starts. We're going to do... I'm going to ask Will a couple of teams, then we're going to discuss it. Are they as good or are they as bad as their record? In the middle there, we're going to talk a little bit about Shohei Ohtani. We didn't talk about it previously, but now it seems like we finally have the information we need. But we're going to start by talking about the rash of pitcher injuries and the miscommunication again between the Players Association and Major League Baseball. So for people who aren't 100% following along, we've already had multiple big name guys go out with elbow injuries. In spring training, Garrett Cole might be the best pitcher in the world. Spencer Strider just recently might have the best stuff in the world. We've also seen guys like Kevin Gausman go down. We've seen so many big name guys go down and seem like they're going to be out for quite a while with elbow injuries, or at least having their elbows looked at, most notably Spencer Strider and Garrett Cole.
Well, you mentioned Garrett Cole, but Garrett Cole has an arm injury, yes, but he doesn't need Tommy John. He's going to be back in the probably here in the few weeks in the season. Was he 3 weeks out, 4 weeks out? I know he's had a rehab start so far, if I'm not mistaken.
You're thinking of Verlander. You're thinking of Verlander.
Verlander, yes. Verlander for sure. But Garrett Cole, he doesn't have an issue. But, well, yeah, I mean, he has an issue. But
he's on the 60-day. I mean, he's on the 60-day IL. He's not coming back till the end of May at the earliest.
Right. But it's not Tommy John. Now, is it an arm issue? Sure. A lot of pitchers just have arm issues. Outfielders get arm issues. But I think the key part here that I think we really need to look at is all the Tommy John surgeries that have happened with all these high velocity throwers. You know, Shohei Ohtani's had two, and he likes to throw gas. You know, the main one, Jacob DeGrom, is a guy we've talked about, and he's still, I mean, how many times have you seen him pitch in the last 5 years? You don't. Justin Verlander had it for the first time, I want to say, his first Tommy John, which is incredible. And I know we're looking for a solution. The solution is use the Justin Verlander method. Brad, you watched Justin Verlander while you were growing up. What did he do in the first five innings? Four innings, I should say, really. He threw, what, 93, 94, and painted the corners. When he started getting gas and starting to lose his spot a little bit, what'd he do? He ramped it up a little bit to 97, 98, and shit, he could touch 100 if he really wanted to. He had 102 in the bag if he really wanted to throw it back. But that's what these pitchers need to look at. Don't take a bite out of the apple that, you know, Jacob DeGrom has. I mean, there's a reason why he's had three Tommy Johns, two Tommy Johns, and just is on the IL all the time. I'm afraid for guys like Spencer Strider. I mean, this is the first one in his young career, and I'm hoping that this is the only one for him. Same thing with Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani's now had two in his young career, and he's barely in his 30s. So I don't think he's even 30 yet. But it's just, I think young guys need to take a small bite out of not trying to throw the ball as hard as they can all the time. It needs to be controlled. It needs to be, I don't want to say muted, but if you got 99 in the chamber and it's comfortable for you, throw it. You know, guys like Chapman, Aroldis Chapman. He can throw 99 like it's nothing. Honestly, and I don't think he's been or had any arm issues except for, you know, in his older age. But the guy still can gas up 97 now because he can do it easily. And I think a lot of the guys now are to the point now, especially young guys who see this, it's, you know, it used to be chicks dig the long ball. Now it's chicks dig the fastball. And the chicks are the executives in the front office who say, hey, that guy can throw 99. Let's put him in our rotation right now.
I'm so glad that this is your opinion, and I'm so glad of all of the things that you said, because I'm about to disagree with everything you just said. I'm about to completely disagree with everything you just said. So
every time we talk about baseball, we agree, and they're going to disagree on this?
Yeah, we're going to disagree on this. So the one thing you and I do agree on is that this has absolutely, Tony Clark, nothing to do, Tony Clark, with the damn pitch clock, Tony Clark. This has nothing to do with the pitch clock. Zero to do with the pitch clock. It might have, there might be some because guys haven't adjusted to it. That's your own damn fault. That's not anything Major League Baseball needs to change the pitch clock for. Nothing to do with it. This is about velocity. That's 100% what it is. But I have a solution. I was going to wait on solutions, but you know what? You dove right into a solution. Let's get to a solution. And what is more exciting to watch? Now, you and I might be a little bit different just because of our baseball fandom, and especially because you and I both love guys like Kyle Hendricks. But in general, what is more fun to watch? A guy like Justin Verlander throwing 93 miles an hour and getting ground ball outs, or a guy throwing 99 to 100?
Well, I mean, of course, the more appeasing to the eyes, the 93, 90, you know, getting the strikeouts.
Right. So it is more entertaining to watch velocity. So that's one thing to kind of put off here, is that it is more entertaining to watch velocity. It is also, in my opinion, the best way to get outs. It is harder to hit a ball going 101 than it is to hit a ball going 92, especially guys who have good off-speed stuff or breaking stuff to go with it. I saw some amazing stuff. If you guys do not follow the Pitching Ninja on Twitter, follow the Pitching Ninja on Twitter. He does these awesome overlays of guys throwing pitches. He just had one with Jordan Hicks. Jordan Hicks' ability to throw 95 miles an hour with a two-seamer while also throwing in the same tunnel a breaking ball away. It's why guys swing it, got balls 4 or 5 feet off the plate. Anyway, I'm getting distracted. Go follow the pitching ninja. And, but guys, it's more entertaining to watch that. It's the best way to get outs. So why are we not adjusting the game to get more of that? Okay, so it's, who doesn't get a lot of injuries? Guys, every reliever throws 100 miles an hour, right? Every single one of them, right?
Well, the thing about that is that they're not throwing as many innings.
Thank you very much. Hold on. Thank you very much. They're not throwing as many innings. Fantastic. But yet some guys can make over 100. There were guys who made almost 100 appearances out of the bullpen last year. They pitched every other day out of the bullpen. The problem is not guys are throwing 99. The problem is guys are throwing 99 for 5 innings every 5 days. I don't give a damn about a starting pitcher going 6 innings. I couldn't care less. Your job is to start the game. And why do we want guys to go 5 innings? To get wins and losses, right?
I guess, yeah. Yes, wins and losses, some people still count those, yes.
Yeah, they are. I'm not sure there's a worse stat in sports than pitcher wins and losses.
Oh, so true, yeah.
A guy can throw 7 innings, or give up 7 runs, I mean, in 5 innings, but his team scores 8 in that same amount of time, so therefore he's the winning pitcher. That's bullshit. He sucked. And also, look at Garrett Crochet back in the first game of the season. Garrett Crochet gave up 1 run to the Tigers. He lost because Tarek Skubal didn't give up any, and the Tigers won 1-0. Okay? Right. Like, it's the worst stat in the world. We should all know it's the worst stat in the world because the guy who has the most wins also has the most losses. Cy Young. It's a stupid stat. Stop counting it. Anyway, so here's my solution. Let's go to my team, the Tigers. What should be gotten rid of? And actually, the Tigers have started kind of doing this with guys. There should be no such thing as a one-inning reliever. There should be no such thing. Maybe a closer. You shouldn't have any. Everybody should be able to get at least 6 outs. And so why can't baseball move to this? Hey, we're going to let you throw 100 miles an hour as often as you want. But Tarek Skubal, for my team, the Tigers, you're going to pitch 3 innings every 3 days. You're going to pitch 3 innings every 3 days. And you can stack where you want them. Do you want the best pitchers in the world? What was so great about the World Baseball Classic? Because at the end, we got Ohtani versus Trout. Why do I want Tarek Skubal throwing the first 5 innings of a game, and I have to depend on Will Vest in the 8th? No, thank you. I would rather have Tarek Skubal pitching at the back of a game. I'd rather have Tarek Skubal facing guys when it matters. So give me, let's structure it this way. Tarek Skubal throws 3 innings of game 1. Immediately following him, Reese Olson throws 3 innings. Figure out the last 3 innings with 2 relievers. Next day, you have, again, this is just the Tigers. Casey Mize throws the first 3 innings. Jack Flaherty throws the next 3 innings. Figure out the last 3. Game 3, Kenta Maeda throws 3 innings. Matt Manning throws 3 innings. Figure out the last 3. And repeat. And repeat and repeat and repeat. They can throw as hard as they want. That's 3 innings throughout the year. If they throw 3 innings every single game, they'll have 162 innings, which is right where we want, guys. And they can throw hard.
I don't know if I completely agree with that. I think you would definitely have to completely restructure teams, 100%. You'd have to restructure contracts because they're not going to get, I don't know,
Yep, starting pitchers don't get to make $30 million anymore. But you know what? They shouldn't make $30 million now. You can't tell me that DeGrom's worth a penny of what they're paying him. You can't tell me Spencer Strider's worth whatever they're paying him right now. It's a bad deal to pay starting pitchers a lot anyway. They should be like running backs in the NFL. You don't need to pay them that much.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that 100%. I mean, it's – you'd have to add more pitching, I think, in the end. I don't think there's even most relievers or even some starters who could probably do 3 innings every 3 days. I don't think so. Because even in 3, I don't know. That's a good point. You kind of threw me off there a little bit because I was not ready for that.
I'm the only person who's ever had this idea. You and I both watch Greeny, and they've been talking about this recently, Mike Greenberg. And they've had two god-awful ideas of, one, attaching your designated hitter to the starting pitcher. That's a terrible idea because guess who I don't want hitting in the 7th, 8th, and 9th innings? Your cold guy off the bench who is just now taking some swings. Hell no, I don't want that. And two, limiting the amount of pitchers you can use in a game. What? What is that? No! You want to be able to match up against the lineup that's coming in. And you have to... They're two god-awful ideas. If you want to change it, my idea is the best one.
It's not a horrible idea.
Because your idea of, guys need to go back to doing what Verlander does. It's not going to happen. That's the thing. You're not going to get guys to not throw 100 miles an hour. Because
you don't think history at some point is going to repeat itself? You know, you don't think at some point that we're going to see all this high velocity, you know, almost like why we got rid of the shift, right? You know, we got rid of the shift because we were sick of seeing the ground balls because we wanted people to hit the home runs. And then they're like, wait, we're hitting way too many home runs now. So let's deaden the ball again. And then we're seeing ground ball outs, and they're like, wait, we're having too many outs, and now we still need some scoring. So let's, you know, so do you think at some point it's just going to be like, hey, you know, we're going to want somebody who's going to be able to paint these corners, you know, with, you know, 92, 93 on their fastball and 78 on their curveball and just kind of flip the script at some point? Or is it just going to be like, hey, he's 17, he can throw 99 miles an hour. I don't care where the hell it's going. That's what I want. And that's going to be an issue. I think it needs, if we're going to have guys who throw 99 consistently like that, it needs to be taught later on in life. I don't think it needs to happen at the high school, the college level, once they make it to some pro team. So that's low A ball, double A, triple A, and that area, that's when they should be able to start working on cocking it back. I think kids... You know, I was listening to Talking Baseball, and they brought up a stat that Tommy John surgeries for the youth, so like 20 years and younger, are like doubled now because these, you know, obviously not the school that we went to, Brad, because we're, you know, small schools, but these larger schools, you know, where all these high prospects come from, probably have radar guns and are probably just going, hey, I want you to go out there and shove. And they're not ready yet. You know, 16, 17, 18 years old, you don't have the muscles around your arms yet fully developed to be able to throw that yet. So if we're going to condone this, then we need to make sure that the kids are doing it right. And even in the low A and the high A, that these guys are working out their arms, you know, effectively to make sure that the muscles around their ligaments are able to throw 99 consistently, whether it's three innings or five innings or, you know, two innings even. So if we're going to see that change, and, you know, if we go with that, you know, three innings every 3 days, we do get to see some pretty cool matchups. You know, you're not wrong, you know, for like you said, if it's Casey Mize to start off and then Kenta Maeda in the second, you know, if we throw out wins and losses for the Cy Young winning, then it doesn't freaking matter, right? It shouldn't matter. So somebody like Kenta Maeda, or even like a young buck like Casey Mize, or even for, like, you know, for us, you know, as a Cubs fan, Javier Assad comes up and he's like, hey, man, I want to be a starter because I want to make sure I can get 20 wins a season and go for that Cy Young. It's like, hey, man, I don't even care about that anymore. Go out there in the third. Give me three through, you know, seven. Get me into the stretch. And we're good to go, man. I'm sitting here thinking about it, trying to disagree with you as much as I can. And I don't like the fact that I can't disagree with you on that.
Well, the disagreement would be that you're scrapping a position. And you're scrapping a high money and a very, very famous position. That I would
yes
be, because you are. You're getting rid of, you are taking everything that, you know, let's go back into years past, that Nolan Ryan, Bob Gibson, Burt Blyleven, go as far back as you want, Babe Ruth when he was a pitcher. All of those, you are saying, we're done with them. We are, that is gone. That is never going to happen again, because if you are taking these guys and only throwing them three or four innings, you're not going to be talking about these guys who amassed this, like, fear as a starting pitcher, a guy, you know, Nolan Ryan, who could go 7, 8, 9 innings. But that's just not the way that we're playing the game. And I want to see these players do as well as they can. And I think it's by throwing less pitches per game. And also, you know, you take 162 divided by 3, it's 54. And so I would get to see Tarek Skubal 54 games a year, not 30. I get to see him pitch 54 games a year. Now, would he would have less impact on one individual game, but he would have more impact throughout the season on more games. That, to me, sounds like a better plan than having to throw out, especially because pitcher injuries are a thing. They're never going to go away, especially because by July, August, you're on your 8th, 9th, 10th starting pitcher on your roster. Why would I want him throwing 5 or 6 innings? That doesn't make sense. He wasn't good enough to be on the team. Why am I going to trust him to throw 5 innings when I should have a team full of guys who can throw 3 innings? And the Tigers have started to do this. Almost nobody on their team is a one-inning reliever, because A.J. Hinch thinks the right. same way.
Well, I don't think, you know, to kind of go back to your original point, I don't think you're getting rid of the starting position. You're still starting the game, right? Now, if we were to completely rewrite the book, okay, and have this as a structure, then you'd have to, you know, again, if wins and losses still matter to somebody, right? Because wins and losses still, I mean, whatever. Then make it after 3 innings, right?
If wins and losses still matter, push them off the flat earth they believe in, too.
Right. But it's like, but I mean, the thing is that you're just restructuring it, right? You're restructuring it. You're not getting rid of it. There's still a starting pitcher. And like you said, there's a chance that they can still go 4 or 5 innings if you want them to. It's you're not saying that they have to throw only 3 or only 4, because there's going to be times where you're going to want guys who are hot, right? Throwing a no hitter or one hit baseball, that you're going to want them to keep going, obviously. But to get rid of, to say that you're getting rid of the position is not true at all. So they'll still have the innings by the end of the year. It would just be restructured.
Yeah, and so maybe innings isn't the word. Yeah, 3 innings every 3 days is a good basis. It makes it easy to understand. But maybe it's 60 pitches. You're capped at 60 pitches. Hey, if it takes you, you know, sometimes you face a really patient team, or you face a team where you struggle a little bit, sometimes 60 pitches, that's 2 1/3, because, you know, you've walked a bunch of guys. Sometimes 60 pitches is 5 innings. But I think it's capping these guys at, well, how many times do we want you to throw? Because Aroldis Chapman, I just saw him against the Tigers. He pitches for the Pirates now. Still dusting dudes at 101 miles an hour in his late 30s, because he doesn't have a ton of mileage on his arm. Also because he's big, lanky, he can create a lot of leverage. People, if you, Aroldis Chapman is buff. He is huge. He has done what you said. Put the muscles around that arm. It's why in his mid-30s, late-30s, he can still throw 100 miles an hour. Now, he also does mix it up a little bit more now. He does throw a few more off-speed things. He doesn't throw 101 every time. He likes to throw it with 2 strikes now. But I just think this is a pandemic. This is a pandemic of an issue, because I can tell you what. What I don't want to see happen is some sort of, well, is the continuation of what's happening now. Guys, think of the roster of pitchers who are not pitching. DeGrom, Verlander, Cole, Strider. Not pitching. They're not on mounts. Those are Scherzer. Those are possibly 5 of the top 10, and some people could even say the top 5 pitchers in the damn game.
Yeah. I mean, even there still, to add on to it, even though he's playing, Shohei Ohtani's not pitching, mm-hmm. right? And then, you know, for the Cubs, you know, Jameson Taillon's not pitching for us, which, I mean, yeah, he had a down year last year, but we're hurting our rotation.
There's only so many starters.
Last year for the Tigers, you guys were hurting your rotation.
Oh, my God, we were on the last legs of everybody.
I don't know where you found those pitchers besides maybe just hitchhiking on the side of, you know, I-75 there in Detroit, but,
I think we built Reese Olson in a lab.
And that's the thing. You look at every team, you know, there's one, two, three key guys who are just not there.
Yeah.
So, the Orioles made Kyle Bradish. Kyle Bradish is not pitching this year.
Yeah, John Means for them, too.
He's going to be a stud this year.
Yeah. Yeah, a top-level guy last year. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So, I still think – so, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do you think that because – again, I think – I think guys who are throwing the ball hard all the time, you know, is still the biggest issue, obviously, right?
Yep.
It's the velocity. People are trying to throw it hard as you can.
Yep.
Should we bring back sticky stuff? Should we bring back stuff maybe for the ball to be a little more tactful? Should we raise the laces a little bit? Because, you know, there's still some things there that it's like, you know, sure, is it not fair for the hitter per se? No, not really. But it's keeping guys kind of healthy because they don't have to try to overspin the ball when they go from a 99 mile an hour fastball to a 91 mile an hour slider.
Right. No, I don't think they should, because that is where I think guys need to make a change. Because one thing that we didn't talk about before that is causing is a contributor to these injuries is spin rate. Mm-hmm. Guys flicking that. I mean, just everybody who's listening right now, act like you're throwing a baseball and just flick your arm down as hard as you possibly can. And then just feel right there on the front of your wrist and down into your forearm a little bit, how you can feel how that tendon is being worked. And so all of this spin rate, that's putting a lot of pressure on your elbow and it has to make up for that room in your arm, in your forearm. So when you're trying to snap that ball off, when you're trying to snap that throw, it's going to put a lot of pressure on your elbow. If we would lessen on spin rate, I'm fine if you're throwing hard. But don't focus so much on spin rate. If we have to use a foreign substance for you to not hurt yourself with how hard you're spinning the ball, you got to back off. You got to back off with how hard you're spinning the ball. The shoulder can handle 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, but doesn't spin rate kind of help? I wouldn't say quite with velocity, but with deception. And that's the whole point. So some guys who don't throw even hard, right?
Yeah.
Still, they need that spin rate to help with deception so they don't get banged.
And you can have plus spin rate. But I'm talking about these absurd spin rates, like when we found out Garrett Cole was using Spider Tack, and after Spider Tack, his spin rates were way lower. Notice without Spider Tack, he's still one of the best pitchers in the game because he still knows how to spin the ball. I haven't seen a major increase in guys getting hit with pitches. They clearly have a grip of the baseball. I'm not here for the pitchers whining about, I needed to grip the ball, or for spin rate, because you want to have some absurd spin rate because your StatCast tablet back in the dugout tells you that you were, you know, spinning the ball like crazy. No.
Well, I'm not saying that you need to
get out.
Well, I'm not saying that you need to, you know, to get the spider tack back out. I'm not saying it needs to be completely sticky. But, you know, again, if these guys are gripping the ball, you know, because they want to get that spin rate up legally, obviously, maybe throw them a small bunch. I'm not saying it needs to be completely sticky, but give them something that's a little more tactful, you know, on the baseball, you know, to give them just a little bit of reprieve, you know, maybe something that'll even help with, you know, I haven't seen a blister injury in forever, but
sure.
Yeah. You know, that you know, something like that. Maybe raise up the releases just a smidge. You know, give them something a little more to kind of grip on a little bit. You know, just something. It's not a lot, but just enough for them to have a little bit of, you know, give them the placebo effect. Like, hey, we're going to make these balls a little more sticky so you don't have to grip the ball as hard. You know, it doesn't even have to be that much stickier.
Isn't that what they have the rosin bag for?
Yeah, I mean, yes, it's why they have the rosin bag. It's probably why they should be using the rosin bag. But at the same time, you know, there's still, you know, guys out there trying to probably grip the ball too hard, but...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If you're gripping so hard, it's hurting you. Like, I have a problem golfing where I grip the club too hard, and it ends up with blisters on my hands. I shouldn't be looking for a substance or something to change on the club. I shouldn't be looking for a different grip of the club so that I don't get blisters. I just shouldn't grip the damn club so hard when I'm swinging my driver. So same thing. Like, just slow down a little bit on the spin rates, and we'll be okay. But this is a problem. And the thing is, there's no easy solution, right? Because my solution that I said, your very first point that you said, you know, now 15, 20 minutes ago, was a really good one. This would require so much time. This would require planning, completely changing rosters, which is what you said. It would completely change rosters. Yes, it would. And it would take time. And this isn't something where it's like you're going to enact a rule or anything like that. No, this is going to take one manager, one guy, like Kevin Cash, you know, when he really dove into the opener. Now almost everybody uses an opener. Like, it's going to take somebody who dives in to having their best pitcher pitch multiple days and have their best pitcher maybe pitch at the end of games. You know how fun it was to see Madison Bumgarner close out a World Series? He was the best pitcher on the planet. So he should be able to close out a World Series. I want to see more of that. I think it's, one, more entertaining. You're going to see more fastballs. You're going to see the best pitchers more often. And I'm nowhere even close to a doctor. But I think it would lessen injuries, because I think if you're throwing less pitches, couple days off, throw less pitches, couple days off, throw less pitches. Let's get someone who's smart on this, someone who actually has data in front of them on this, and let's see what they think, because... something's got to change. And what I don't want is to affect the end of games. I don't want to see the DH get attached to starting pitchers, because that's cool for the first five innings. But you know what doesn't matter? The first five innings of a baseball game. The last four. It's the reason why closers are a big deal. I know all the stat nerds think closers aren't a big deal. They absolutely are. Those last three innings feel, or last three outs feel a little bit different than the other three. The adrenaline, all of that. All the focus is needed. So I want all of that at the end of games.
Yeah, well, I don't think you have to really have that much, you know, smart people, I guess I should say, and data people around us to know that the less innings you pitch, the healthier you can be.
Well, can you
know,
pitch every three days? That's my question, is can they pitch every 3 days? Because if it's three innings every 4 days, this really isn't worth it to lose one day, right? And you're pitching way less innings. You know, but
yeah.
Then you maybe do need to change the way they're throwing. But if it's three innings every 3 days, if you can stay healthy that way, all it's going to take is one guy to step up and say, I'm going to do this.
So put your executive brain on for me real quick. Okay. So you're in the front office. Okay. You would now have agreed that you're going to do this rotation thing. Could you use that to, you know, kind of screw over contracts a little bit? You know, like, hey, listen, you know, you're only pitching, you know, you're only getting to 60 pitches, right? Or maybe you're getting the three innings per game every 3 days, you know, therefore I'm going to pay you half your salary. Like, you know, either in an upcoming salary or, you know, in a extension. Are guys going to get paid less money now? I mean, I know you're an advocate for that, but...
Yeah, I'm not screwing anybody. I'm paying you what you're worth. And starting pitchers just aren't worth as much as they're being paid. I've never understood starting pitchers being really paid $30 million a year, $35 million a year to pitch once every 5 days. I'm fine with you paying your fourth best position player, if you're a good team, a fourth best position player close to $30 million. Because that guy is going to hit probably somewhere in the middle of your lineup. I think that what it would do is it would even out a lot of pay. I think it would be a lot of third and fourth starting pitcher level salaries. I think you could still pay a guy. He's still going to give you 162 innings, and almost everybody becomes more of a leverage guy. I think $20 million a year is still very viable for a lot of players. And if you have the best of the best, those guys who are hurt right now, and, you know, personally, I believe Tarek Skubal is a top 20 starting pitcher in the game right now, top 20 pitcher in the game right now. I could pay him $25 million a year if I know I'm going to pitch up at the end of games. I mean, closers make close to that right now. Closers are getting paid a ton of money to pitch one inning every 2.5 days. So I could see $20 to $25 million. I just don't think you're going to see $35, $40 million for pitchers anymore.
I think you brought up a really good point that I think you just kind of walked over a little bit, is the fact that you're going to see that contract for that fourth and fifth starter kind of go away.
Yeah.
There's not going to be a fourth and fifth starter. You know, you look at a lot of teams now, you look at teams like, you know, the Reds and the Orioles, well, with Kyle Bradish, and then, of course, you know, the Seattle Mariners, who have a stud 1-5, you know, stud 1-5. So it'll be a little harder for teams like that. But also, if you go to this, you know, what's good for the brand of baseball, maybe not for your team, is the fact that the fifth starter for, you know, the Seattle Mariners will be the third starter for the, you know, Tampa Bay Rays. And all of a sudden, you got a stud 1-3, right? You know, and you have this, you got more guys you can pitch, you got more entertainment throughout throughout the season. 162 is a long season, and if you want more viewers, if you want more money in your back pocket for the execs, if you want just more excitement, I think the three by three, I think we'll call it the 3x3. I like that. 3x3, you know, could work for that, honestly.
Yeah, like, let's just, we got to move to something else. We're at 35 minutes here, but let's just go to your team real quick. So, sure. Also, one thing you could do is, now you can do, you know, you want to throw two guys who are very similar back-to-back, but my thought is every team usually has 5 to 6 guys who they feel comfortable as a starting pitcher, or guys who can throw 2 to 3 innings. So you kind of have guys who are paired together, where every day that, you know, again, in my case, Tarek Skubal pitches, so would Reese Olson, something like that, lefty-righty mix. But just think, who's the Cubs starting pitcher who has the best velocity?
Probably the best velocity right now, probably, oh, we don't really have a guy who throws hard. So I guess Imanaga's the right now. I think Imanaga's the hardest thrower on our team because Justin Steele's a 92, 93. Hendricks is a 87. It'll get there eventually. Use a wheelchair.
Right. Okay. So,
yeah.
But perfect.
Well, and then, I guess Javier Saad can kind of throw it back. He's like 95, I think. So I would say between Javier Saad and Imanaga right now are the hardest throwers on the team.
Well, I love that. I love, because Imanaga's left-handed, so this works even better. Imagine right. If you're throwing Kyle Hendricks for the first 3 innings. That's, you know, 3-4 innings, 1 turn through the lineup. And then, boom, here comes Imanaga, left-handed, throwing harder. Like, you just can't, you're not going to be able to settle in on a guy, because you're only going to see him once. You know, if you're pitching 3 innings and you pitch well, that's one time through the order. The leadoff guy might see a guy twice. But everybody else, you're going to see him once. That's it. And then you have to adjust to this other guy who's throwing 95. I just think there's so many things that can be done. The problem is you're completely the money side of things here. That's the only thing. Starting pitchers would take a huge pay cut. You're just not going to pay Gerrit Cole 10 years, $300 million. It's not going to happen if he's only going to. But the thing is, he's pitching 160 innings now. He'd be pitching 160 innings with this. Do the innings matter if you're not pitching 5-6 innings in one game? If you're instead pitching 4 innings every 3 days for someone like Gerrit Cole, who think you might be able to go a little longer? Like,
you know what's even better for this, real quick on this last note?
Yeah.
Is that now, if like somebody gets in trouble, right? And they're like, oh yeah, it's a 10-game suspension. But technically, it's like one start. Yeah. Now it's like 5 starts.
Yeah.
You know, it's 5 starts.
And also, that too, speaking of guys in trouble, think of in trouble now in a game. Max Fried has sucked this year. Been awful in his couple of starts for the Braves.
Yeah.
It ruins your bullpen for a week because you have guys who only throw one inning. Well, now if I'm prepared, if everybody on my team can throw at least 2 innings, my bullpen's a little hampered. But you can take a guy who only gives you 1 inning, maybe 2 innings. You can survive it because you have a group that all can step up. You have 14 pitchers when really, I just said in a week, you're probably only going to need 10. And so you have these other guys who can step up and make something happen. So that's my solution. I don't know what the correct solution is, but something has to change. Something has to change. We're having too many injuries. Just as a baseball fan, I don't even care about, you know, the, oh, well, we're doing velocity too much as a kid. Not even on that. Just as a baseball fan, Cole, Ohtani, Strider, all of these guys who are out, I don't get to see them, DeGrom. Like, I don't get to see them. That's a problem. So now let's go to another guy we're not seeing pitch. But let's talk about this Shohei Ohtani thing. I mentioned last week, 2 weeks ago, whenever this was, this story came out on the pod, that I didn't want to get into it when we didn't know anything. And I'm glad we didn't get into it when we didn't know anything, because I was wrong about what I thought was happening. I thought Ohtani definitely knew something. And with the news that came out today, I'm going to believe the investigation here, that Ohtani didn't know a damn thing. And he had $16 million stolen from him by a guy who is supposed to be his best friend. And this completely changes everything. And then what I thought this story was, this went from me being like kind of turning a side eye to what's going on to now I just feel terrible for Ohtani. I just feel bad because he had his trust in this guy. He had his trust with what he was saying in Japanese to come out the right way in English, which probably did. But that's a lot of trust you have to put in a guy. And now he's stolen from you to cover illegal gambling.
Yeah, I think you nailed it right there. It's just the fact that it's going to be a trust issue from here on out. Like, how can you move on to another translator, you know, that you think is going to be genuine for you? This guy's been in your back pocket since, you know, you even before you got to the Angels, you know, and yeah, you guys were best friends right then and there. But the only reason why you guys were best friends is because he knew you were making money and you were making all of this for him so he can go and gamble. You know, I mean, I think the cat was slowly coming out of the bag for Ipe when some dirt was starting to come up from him about, you know, the stuff that happened in Boston and the college that he didn't go to wasn't the actual university or the college that he went to. And, you know, he's gotten into trouble before and, you know, things just weren't lining up with who Ipe was. So, you know, I don't know who he interviewed with to get, you know, the position and the job to be Shohei Ohtani's interpreter. But damn, did he play a damn good fool.
Yeah, he did. And he took advantage of a guy who has made a ton of money, not just in his contracts, but also through endorsements and just being famous, just being Ohtani, has made a ton of money to where you can take over 2 years, $14 million, $16 million from a guy and him not really notice. And for him to be able to play not only Ohtani, but to be able to play the institutions that he defrauded as well, the banks that Ohtani's money was in, that he was able to convince they could give the money to this guy for him to send off. I mean, this was a stupid crime, to say the least, because there's absolutely no way to get away with it. Because I think if he wasn't completely, you know, I guess if he wasn't a bad person, I think he probably could have gone to Ohtani and said, hey, I am in this trouble. I need help. I have a gambling addiction, gambling problem. And they probably could have worked something out with him. And Ohtani wouldn't have been punished if he would have gone to Major League Baseball. If Ohtani would have said, hey, I'm firing my interpreter. He has these illegal gambling debts. I am giving him the money for him to go pay that off, but he can go do that. He would have had some sort of fine or charge from, through, you know, because it'd be a crime for him to, you know, participate in those legal gambling or something, but I'm sure they could have found a way to get him off the hook of that. You know, the famous people, rich people have a way of getting off the hook. So, you know, that makes me think that you're right, that this is a guy who completely played Ohtani. This is a guy who completely played everybody into being conspiracy theorists, that I think almost everybody thought Ohtani knew something. And it turns out he just flat out didn't, because he didn't speak the same language.
I think the worst part of it all is that what did Ohtani deserve to get that?
Ohtani
is one of the greatest and the most humbling, and just a guy who just loves to love. You know, he doesn't waive the fact that he makes all this money. He's a very conservative kind of guy, you know, who just, he's a best friend to everybody where he goes. You know, nobody's a rival to him. He doesn't have a rival. Everybody loves Shohei Ohtani.
Willing to defer $680 million.
Exactly. And, you know, people are like, oh, that's BS, you know, that they let him do that. But, you know, it's because he wanted to make sure he can bring guys to the team. Listen, I am one of the guys who hate the Dodgers with a passion. With a passion. But I love Shohei Ohtani. I love the fact that he's able to do this for his team. And again, what did Shohei Ohtani do to deserve not only our distrust, right? Because, like, there's just something that just felt off. Whether if he knew it wasn't illegal or didn't know it was illegal, you know, at first, it's like, you know, there's always some kind of misinterpretation, quite literally, you know, in this aspect. You know, so even if this came back that, you know, Shohei Ohtani did bet on you know, games within California, you know, what was going to happen. But for him to just be able to leech on to this, you know, I guess this kind soul is what I will say. You are a horrible, horrible person. And I'm hoping he gets the fullest punishment that the feds can give him at this point, because he deserves it. You can't steal $16 million and get a little slap on the wrist. I hope it's I think I saw the fine was $1 million plus, you know, 30 years in prison. And I hope that they throw the book at him for doing this, because he could have, if he didn't get caught now, who knows how long this would have freaking gone on for.
Yeah, and what he could have done to Ohtani's reputation, too. And I do think, because I did see he's in the process of pleading guilty when it first came out, I do think that he's not going to get that full 30 years. He's going to get a reduced sentence because he's going to plead guilty, and that's fine. Hopefully he just gets the help he needs when it comes to addiction and his problems, and just get out of here. Just get out of here. Go serve your time and get out of here. And also, anybody who thinks that Ohtani is just a fall guy here, or that he's making Ipe the fall guy and Ohtani really is betting on things, you're an idiot, because 30 years in prison is not fall guy thing. If it was some type of fine, or he just, all of a sudden, he just went back to Japan and we never heard from him again, then maybe it's fall guy thing. But you're an idiot if you think that he's being a fall guy. 30 years in prison and federal indictments are not something that you just take a fall for your rich friend for, okay?
Right. Especially if you're the friend, you know? Yeah. Because if it's the friend, they would have both done something to try and cover this up.
Yeah.
This guy is just a dirtbag who should lose his visa, you know, to the U.S., because he will, after he serves his time, and then back to Japan you go, or, you know, wherever else you can go. Because who knows? You did something like this to a beloved star. Japan is very, very sacred in the sense of, like, he might not even be able to go back to Japan, honestly, in this aspect. Because that's just how their culture is. You shunned not only, I mean, Shohei Ohtani is probably the biggest name in Japan right now. At least Japanese sports for sure. But one of the biggest names in Japan in general. And, you know, for you to, you know, hurt somebody like that and to fake, you know, being their best friend at this point. Who knows? Maybe they were friends at one point. You know, maybe there were friends at one point.
That's my thought, is I think they were. But he dug deep and he decided to do this. And I think they were friends. I think they were. I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know if he's going to get kicked out of the U.S. I truly don't know how that works, because I don't even know if he is here on a visa. I'm not even sure if he's an American citizen or not. I haven't done my Ipe Mitsuhara research. All I know is that he's a really bad gambler. He's really bad at it. I mean, I'm not good either, but I'm not that bad. Alrighty, let's wrap this up by doing something fun here. And we are almost 10%, or almost 1/16 of the way, excuse me. We're a little over a 16th of the way. We've played 10 games for just about everybody. Some teams are really good, some teams are really bad. And so I want to talk about them. I don't want to spend long on each team, just a minute or two each. And just, are they as good or as bad as they have started? Or, you know, we can talk about if they're going to project to be something like this. We can just talk about it. But anyway, so let's start with the team that I think it's surprising on how bad they are. In fact, they're coming off of a 13-3 loss to the Kansas City Royals. The Houston Astros are 4-10 right now. Are they this bad? Is there actually something to worry about in Houston?
No. I don't think there's anything to worry about in Houston. It's early in the season. They still have a very powerful lineup. The pitching depth is definitely hindering them right now, but they're a few weeks away from getting Verlander back. I believe, is it Javier who is out right now? Or is it Urquidy? Who's Urquidy's the other pitcher that's out for them? Urquidy. Yeah, eventually they're going to get him back as well. So they're going to get their lineup back in play, or their rotation back in play. It's still early. I mean, I know I don't want to spoil it for you, but, like, you know, if we look at last year's Pirates, they were, like, really freaking good, and, like, everybody was high on them. Relax. They're going to come back to earth. And the same thing with the Astros. They're going to come back to earth and start hitting the ball again. So I'm not going to hit the panic button on them. No, I think the Astros are going to be fine.
I think they're better than we think they are. All right, let's go to the team you just mentioned, because the other one getting a lot of talk right now are the Pirates. They're not even in first place, but they are 9-4. What about the Pirates? Are they as good as the record says? Are they a 9-4 team?
Yes. Yes, they are. Their lineup has gotten better. The young guys, Ke'Bryan Hayes, remember we were talking about Ke'Bryan Hayes? You know, like, hey, can he just learn how to freaking hit? I think he's starting to figure it out a little bit. He's starting to hit the ball again this year. The pitching's gotten a lot better. And like you mentioned, Aroldis Chapman is in the back of that bullpen and still punching out guys. Right now, as it sits, yes, they are a 9-4 team. They've beaten the teams in front of them, and they're playing very well. Do I think it's going to continue on like this? No, I think they're going to be improved from last year. I don't remember what my prediction was. I'll have to look that up. I think as it sits right now, yes, they're playing 9-4 ball.
Last year I should have bet so much money on the Pirates falling apart, because like MLB Central, I mean, so many people talk, are the Pirates a contender in the National League Central? And you were starting to get convinced that they were a better team. And I was like, nope, they suck. They're really bad. They suck. And they suck.
It was Andrew McCutchen for me, man. Like when Andrew McCutchen started hitting the ball again, I'm like, wow, he's found new life in Pittsburgh. And then he shit the bed a month later. And I'm like, well,
team fell apart. This team is better. Paul Skeens is not far from the majors. Clear service time manipulation on him and Jackson Holliday. He's going to be up soon. So I do think they're better. I think 9-4 is it's a fair start. They're not going to go 9-4 every 13 games of the year. That's not what we're saying. But I honestly think this team, in a just very average National League Central, can at least be there at the end. I think 500 to slightly over 500 is not out of the question for the Pirates. So, yeah, I think they are as good as they're playing right now. Let's go to another one that I think should be pretty easy. Possibly the best team in baseball so far this year. The New York Yankees are 10-3. Are they as good as it seems like they are?
Better. I think they're better, honestly. This team is what feels like what the Yankees that even you and I kind of grew up with watching. That's what this team is. Not only with Aaron Judge, obviously, but Juan Soto is not just doing it with the bat. He's doing it in the outfield. Giancarlo Stanton is hitting the ball again. This is awesome to see. You know, and then picking up guys, you know, like the guy they got from Boston, Verdugo. Thank you. You know, he's hitting the ball well. Anthony Rizzo is still a threat in that lineup. And even though they don't have Gerrit Cole, they have a great pitching rotation. And they have a guy who's not supposed to be a closer closing out games in Clay Holmes. I mean, this guy has been really good in the back end of that bullpen. And then, you know, their new pitcher, Marcus Stroman, is out there shoving innings as well. I mean, this team is going to be so good. And then they're going to get Gerrit Cole back? Whew. It's going to just improve. As long as, and I think you said it in the last podcast we were on, as long as Aaron Boone doesn't fuck this up, I think this is the first time I said the F word on this show, they should be fine. I mean, they should win that division almost outright with the way that the Blue Jays are playing. You know, the Rays are completely just average right now. Boston is showing a little bit of life, but that's going to die later on, you know. But this team is legit this year.
I still will take Baltimore to win this division. I'm not ready to give this to the Yankees because I still don't trust Aaron Boone to not screw this up. And I think this team still has a depth issue. I think this is, the Yankees are going to be a fun April and May story. They're going to go nuts all the way through May and possibly even into June. And then the injuries are going to start and they're going to find out they have no depth. And yet again, it's going to be a disappointing end of the season. And yet again, the Yankees are going to be calling for the heads of Brian Cashman and Aaron Boone. They've made some really nice additions. Juan Soto is a great addition as a possible one-year rental. We'll see. I think that they're obviously right there to be able to pick him back up. Verdugo is a nice addition. But you're still starting DJ LeMahieu. DJ LeMahieu is not going to stay healthy. You're still starting Anthony Rizzo, a guy who you can't guarantee is going to stay healthy. Their starting rotation, Nestor Cortez needs to have a bounce back year. Marcus Stroman, we'll see. He's kind of a number three, number two pitcher at best. Now, you know, Gerrit Cole, I even through the injury, I'm going to put my faith in Gerrit Cole. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's not going to work. But I think when this team is going to have to rely on depth later on in the year, I just don't think they're going to be able to do it. And I need to see it. I need to see the Judge is going to stay healthy. I got to see it.
Yeah, Judge is the big factor. And then I think the only depth that I'm worried about is just in their pitching. I think they have some fielding depth and they have some hitting depth now. Oswaldo Cabrera is starting to come into his own. And then they got a couple of infield guys that are helping out as well. So I think they're going to be okay in that aspect. They're not going to match the home runs, you know, if somebody like Aaron Judge and Anthony Rizzo go down. But I think to tread water towards the end of the season, I think is where they're going to be at, not to the point where they're just going to take a shit and then not make the playoffs. I still think even if they have a couple of key injuries, they're still going to make the playoffs.
Well, I still think they'll make the playoffs, but I think they still are going to get bounced by the Astros in the first round. Like, I still think they're going to, unless they play the Twins, who they own, they're going to play, then the Astros are going to bounce them.
As the Astros get their shit together.
The Astros, the Rangers, whoever it is, Baltimore, all I think are better than the Yankees still. Alrighty, let's go to a surprise, possibly worst team in baseball. They're tied with the White Sox for the worst record in baseball. is Miami a 2-11 team? This team was battling for the playoffs last year. Are they this bad?
I think they can be. I think it's the division, honestly, around them as well. That's not going to help them. The pitching is either really good or really bad. You're going to get one side or the other. There is no in-between. And I think this could be the year that they're just going to be really bad. I don't think they are worst team in the league bad. But, you know, they're going to be slumming it down there. I think they're going to replace the Nationals, honestly. I think that's where they're going to be at. Whatever the Nationals were, that's where they're going to be at. Maybe, you know, maybe a little slightly better, but not by much. Because, they, like I said, they still got some hitters on that team, but not as much as, you know, the Braves, the Phillies, even Washington. Washington's got some really good hitters on their team, too. It is surprising because they're always a team that's right there, but they're playing, I think, to their level.
Yeah, I mean, 2-11 is awful, right? I mean,
it's bad.
Yeah, like, I think it's clear who the three worst rosters are in baseball. The three worst rosters are the Rockies, the A's, and the White Sox. Those are the three worst teams in baseball. They will be the worst teams. But that battle for who the fourth team is, yeah, I think Miami could be there. There's no Sandy Alcantara. Yuri Perez just now went out with Tommy John surgery. Jesus Luzardo is going to get traded. So where are you at when it comes to pitching? Your best hitter is Luis Arraez, who you and I could hit the ball farther than he does. We can't hit it as well as he does, but you and I can hit the ball farther than Luis Arraez. Josh Bell and Jake Berger are question marks, especially Josh Bell. When it comes to first base, they traded away John Birdie to the Yankees. I don't see it with this team. I think this team last year overachieved, and I think this team's pretty bad. They lack power in a huge ballpark. They don't have Jorge Soler. You know, Soler was on that team last year.
Yep.
They don't have him anymore. Jorge Soler's not hitting 45 homers for you anymore. So he's with the Giants now, trying to hit homers in that giant ballpark. You know, so, no, I think this team's really bad. Last one here. And this team hasn't even been that good, necessarily. But I do think it's semi-surprising. The Angels are 6-6.
They got Mike Trout, baby.
This is a team that has no Ohtani anymore. Rendon has yet to get a hit in L.A. But they're fighting. So the Angels at 6-6, is this a team that can go 81-81? I think that it's possible that they can go 81-8. Trout is going nuts right now. Trout is so... Again, I worry about his health. If Trout can stay healthy, he's going to win the MVP again. Mm-hmm. I think he's on a scorched earth campaign to remind people that he's still one of the best hitters on the planet. I think pound for pound, Yordan Alvarez is the best hitter on the planet. But Mike Trout is trying to get right up there again, right back in people's minds. And then from there, they're trying to piece it together because it's hard to think of another Angel who is actually worth anything. They have a whole bunch of meh. And yet, they're right there, 6-6. I hope, and also, this is the Ron Washington factor. This is Ron Washington. He's a really good manager. He can motivate anybody to do anything. He could make you and I start working out.
Yeah. So, like, if you're looking at, this roster, I'm looking it up right now as we speak, live right now, okay? Like, this roster, this depth chart and this roster I'm looking at, it's not bad. It's exactly where you want them to be. It is a 6-6 team. This team without this team without Mike Trout is probably, you know, 4-8, you know, but 6-6. You also have Brandon Drury, who just knows how to hit the ball, right? Anthony Rendon is just a it just needs to go.
He's lost at this
point. That's going to be another topic for another day. But right now, the way he's hitting the ball and what he said over the offseason, not making him look like a great guy right now. But Taylor Ward is always good. Mickey Moniak, and he's still young. He'll figure it out. They got Joe Adell on this team. They do have Aaron Hicks, who can find the ball as well. And then a guy that I haven't mentioned yet, who was, I think, really good last year, but I'm mistaken, Luis Rengifo.
Good last year.
This guy was just really good last year. So if we can get, average play out of Drury, right, who's just going to be just a solid piece in the lineup to go with Mike Trout. And then if, Rengifo can keep up what he's doing, Zach Neto, who's at the catcher, he's supposed to be a bright spot in this lineup as well. This team is going to be, again, I think a 500 team, maybe a little below. And then, the rotation, Reed Detmers is always good. Patrick Sandoval, Tyler Anderson, like those are good mid-tier rotation. These guys would be great for your 3x3.
Yeah, it would.
It would be great for the 3x3. Which is why, they got Matt Moore in the bullpen who can give you some innings. They got Adam Simber who can give you innings. They got Jose Cisnero who can always give you innings. So Hunter Strickland is in this bullpen as well. Like they have names. They just have a really shitty owner.
Yeah, they do. You know? I expect them to fall off. I expect them to struggle, but I think they can go 81-81.
I think the ceiling is 81-81.
Yeah.
The floor is, number 5 and, just ahead of the Marlins.
Yeah, so, battling with the Marlins. Yep.
Exactly. So I think that's right. And those are, it's funny because when you mentioned those teams, I was hoping that you would mention those teams because those teams have been surprising this first, week and a half, 2 weeks in baseball. So,
yeah, those are the ones that I really noticed. There's some teams that are like probably better than they should. The Royals are 9-4, but I'm not.
Man, the Royals look good. I mean, they put up 9 runs in the first inning today.
They look pretty good, don't they? I mean, they look like they're kind of excited. They're looking like what people thought the Tigers might be this year, where the Tigers are struggling. So
I say that prediction that I made earlier this year, man. I told you, I was like, hey, I like what the Royals did this year.
Yeah,
and they are looking really good. So I really hope that this doesn't turn into the Pirates for me. And that my prediction stays where it's at, but I have a feeling it might go the Pirates' way. But it's good to see that these guys are starting to mesh together. They're going to play a lot of good ball. It's exciting to watch. It makes games exciting to see, like, hey, the Royals are really good. The Tigers are really good, right? Yeah. The White Sox are shit, thank God, because nobody likes the White Sox. So even people who think they're White Sox fans aren't White Sox fans. So
shouldn't be. They shouldn't be. They're right there.
They just like the hat, man.
So. Yeah. Last thing. Okay, real quick. If you had to pick someone who you think, I'm not going to hold you to this even 15 minutes from now, you have to pick a team who you think is going to win the World Series. Who is it?
Atlanta.
Fair.
Atlanta's just so stupid good.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's so hard to choose against Atlanta.
I'm worried about the Strider thing. I'm not sure they have the depth in the rotation around Strider.
I think it's going to hurt them a little bit, but they got the lineup depth. They've got guys who are out there who can do innings, and they'll pick somebody up. They will go get somebody at the trade deadline to make sure that they stay afloat. So it depends on how the Yankees are. I mean, they might go get Paul Blackburn out from the A's. So, somebody like that who's going to go out there and give them innings, because Paul Blackburn has been really good this year to start out. So,
yeah, trust me. I just watched him torch the Tigers. So, yeah, I know.
I'm sorry to bring up the A's for you.
But don't worry. Literally everybody has torched the Tigers so far. Okay. Like, this is that offense is so bad. And it's so up and down. I've brought it up on all of my platforms and anywhere they'll let me speak. They've now played what I think they've played 12 or 13, 11 games. Now they got rained out again today. 5 times through 9 innings, they've had only 1 run or less. 5 times. That should happen maybe 5 times in 2 months. They've done it in 10 games. Anyway, I think there's something special with this Orioles team. The trade for Corbin Burnes, he has been masterful through his 3 games. There's something special in Baltimore. I'm here for the ride. I like this Baltimore team. They're fun. Yeah. This has got big time 2015 Kansas City Royals feel. I like them.
I'm angry in the fact that I have skipped over the Orioles twice now in this pod.
Yeah.
Okay. And now I'm gonna go soil myself because I shouldn't have done it, because you're right. And they just called up Jackson Holliday, right, a couple days ago, which is one of the best moves that they've done. And you're right. This the offense, the rotation. Again, they've got a killer bullpen. So you're right. I mean,
something feels special.
It does. It feels so special because they were so close last year, and then they just kind of I don't think they were ready for the playoffs.
Nope.
And now that they got a taste of the playoffs, yeah, they're going to run off with it. So I might have to redact my you can edit that out, right? I'm going to say, hey, the Orioles are my pick for the World Series.
A Baltimore-Atlanta World Series would be fun. I'd like that. Just keep the Dodgers out of it.
So good.
I don't want the Dodgers.
Anybody but the Dodgers. Again, nothing against Shohei Ohtani, right? But duck the Dodgers, in my opinion.
Yeah. You can go over there. Go over there. I don't like the Dodgers.
You can win 160 games for all I care.
Yeah.
But once the playoffs hit, you know.
Watch out for those Diamondbacks sweeping you.
Watch out for the Cubs, man. Here we go, man.
Alrighty, let's wrap it up here. You can find Taking On Sports. You can find us on Twitter, find us on Facebook. Please listen to us on Spotify and share our stuff around, because if you like us, that means that you have friends and family who will. And if you hate us, well, there's some people on your friends list right now who hate you. So you might as well share your stuff around and share the stuff around, because they will like us. So... You like that one? I keep on adjusting that little phrase and finding a way to do it. You like that one? That's a good one. Make sure, again, you share our stuff around. Find us on Spotify. And pretty soon, we'll have the winner of our bracket challenge coming on the show. He's a morning man. We record these at night. It's hard to find the time to actually get him on the show. It's 11 p.m. on the East Coast right now. He is long asleep on a Thursday night. So we will get him on the show. He will tell us his great strategy for winning and tell us about how dumb we all were. It's coming, I promise. Alrighty, enjoy the Masters this week. Scottie Scheffler looks like he's inevitable, even though he finished the first round one back. It looks like Scottie Scheffler's inevitable at the Masters. He's probably the guy who I would take and put some money on to win right now. Will, thank you very much. I'm Brad Gressens, Taking On Sports.